We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank, your partner in possible. Coming up, the latest episode of 21 Questions, a Q&A-style show covering whatever our subscribers feel like hearing about. And it's presented by Macadoodles, your one-stop shop for beer, wine, and spirits, now in Kansas City. The latest episode of 21 Questions begins now.
Live from Radio Row at the 2023 NFL Scouting Combine here in Indianapolis. I'm BJ Kissel, hanging out with Tucker Franklin, producing this thing, and special guest Matt Verderame from A Place to Be Determined.
Yes, currently fan-sided until like the end of day Friday. And then you have to follow me on Twitter to know where I'm going come Monday.
Yeah. Some people on the social media, when we promoted this, thought that this was going to be an announcement for you joining KCSN. And if you, that's why you're tuned in right now. That is not the case. Matt is not joining us. We cannot afford him. He's too good.
I appreciate that. I'm happy to be here. This is fun. We've never done this. This is cool, man. I'm glad
not
you're
in person.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But we talked about it before, and we've been hanging out a little bit here in Indy, that, you know, there's so many of us that kind of started around the same time at Arrowhead Pride back in the day, that it's kind of cool to see everybody kind of go do their own thing and be in different spots and still all cover the Chiefs and talk about something that we all did when we weren't getting paid or not getting paid very much. That it's very much a passion for all of us that we're, you know, AP had, we had a squad.
We don't lie for a while. And a lot of them are now with you, right? You get the lab, those guys, and the two of us. And then there was, you know, Matt Connor, who's over at Arrowhead Addict and Fanside, and Patrick Allen, who was also at Arrowhead Pride.
Seth Kaiser,
who's at the Athletic, doing some work and doing his own Substack, just rolling, doing great work. So
crushing it.
It's kind of crazy. Like, all of us were there in like a period of, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, you know, maybe a little less, 6 years. It worked out. It worked out for everybody.
Yeah, no, Tucker's going to bring on some of the comments. I already see him right here. KC saying, no, KCSN gear on Matt. We can give you a hoodie. We can get you something.
That's right.
But yeah, no, the beauty of, and we've said this so many times on the network, I know you feel the same, that, you know, Chiefs fans are lucky. There's a lot of really good places to consume content, and we'll promote all of them. And, you know, there's something for everybody. That's the beauty of it.
I think a lot of times, you know, in this business, you get a little petty, you get catty, you don't want to just kind of hoard the audience. But the reality is, like, if you're a Chiefs fan, you should be watching KCSN. You should check out Arrowhead Addict. You should check out Times Ours, right, The Athletic. I mean, these are a lot of not only hardworking people, they're good people.
Yes.
They're smart people. Like, this, I would put the people that cover the Chiefs against anybody.
For sure.
Any fan base. And I, you know, obviously I have to cover the league nationally as well. Like, it is not everywhere. You have this amount of outlets who not only talk about the team, but can be informative, can be insightful, entertain. Yep. I mean, it's hard. It's hard. And Chiefs fans have a lot of outlets to learn about their Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, and the beauty of this, and this is something that I've learned over the last, you know, year and a half with KCSN and starting the platform from scratch, and the way that the monetization and the business side of things that, you know, we have to figure out, especially starting something from scratch, you got to figure out a way to make it all work, that, you know, there's millions of Chiefs fans out there, and there's plenty of fans to go around for all the different platforms. If you offer something that people like, it's some people will prefer your show. Some people prefer our shows, or they listen to a little bit of both. We have so many shows on our network. I don't expect everybody to listen to every single show, but we have so many different personalities. It's find the ones that you like, listen to those. And if it's ours and time's ours, or even Kingdom Cast or the Kingdom Queens, there's so many cool, just
those are
shows, popping up, and people that do great stuff and they care about the team. They're talking about something that we all care about. It's beautiful, but you only need X number of people to follow you, and the people to make your part, little corner of this work, and your little niche, your little voice in this big conversation. It's a drop in the bucket compared to the millions of fans that are out there. So appreciate you having you on.
You bet.
So I know we talked about it before, you're familiar with the show. So subscriber generated questions, kind of like Q&A mailbag. We call it 21 questions. Thanks to our friends at Macadoodles, which is now in Kansas City. Check them out over in Lee Summit. Always take care of you to get your stuff for game day, off season, whatever it is, getting ready for the draft. Find all that beautiful stuff. Go get some KC beer.
That's right.
KC Beer Co.
That's right.
Sponsor of your former podcaster.
Well, I don't know how to talk about it. For current, 2 more days.
Okay, I don't know how to talk about it.
I actually have the podcast later today at 5 Eastern 4 Central.
There you go. Did you bring like KC Beer Co. with you? Did you bring a case of it?
It's all in my house. Right. And when we went out for the live show we did, I think at the beginning of December, I took as much of it as I physically could back to the house. Plus, we did the Arrowhead Lager, which is like our beer that we did with them, which is the pinnacle of my career. Like, nothing will ever be better than that.
We talked about that when I saw you guys at the Kelly's that night.
Yeah.
I came and hung out with you and Briscoe and and met Sterling and Patrick was there. That was fun.
It was cool, I will say real quick. So we did that show and I was there, I think it was in Casey for like 3 days. And it was just funny because, you know how much people love the Chiefs and how interested they are in him. But I don't know how, and this I'm sure happens to you even considerably more, but it was funny when I went to Kansas City. I met Briscoe that night for dinner. The first night I got into town, we went out and we walked in and some guy came up to me and was like, "Are you Matt Verderam? I love your stuff, man. I love the Chiefs." And I was like, that's a crazy amount of passion. Like, I was just sitting there with Briscoe, and my point is, you don't get that everywhere else, but because Kansas City is so obsessed with the Chiefs, like, you wouldn't have that in New York because there's so many teams. Right. There's so many teams in LA. There's so many teams down in Florida or Texas. But in Kansas City, like, the passion for the Chiefs is so crazy that they'd recognize a dope like me out at dinner eating a brisket. Like, that speaks to the fandom and how powerful it is. And it's awesome.
Yeah. I'm sorry for responding. Phone's blowing up. But Tucker's got questions for us that are coming from the Discord. Or if you're listening to this live, you're watching on Twitter or on YouTube, send us your questions over and we'll get to as many as we can over the next 20 minutes or so.
I want to start with this one from Diggy B in the Discord. With Leo's performance in the Super Bowl, do we think we trade / extend or let Willie Gay hit free agency next offseason?
I think, look, regardless of Leo, it's tough to pay major money to multiple off-ball linebackers, right? Mm-hmm. And let's face it, look, Willie Gay is excellent, and he serves a major need for that team, but are you paying him or Nick Bolton, right? Like, Nick Bolton is now Nick Bolton's not even eligible for an extension until after his third year, right? He's not even in the conversation until next offseason, but if you want to give Willie Gay any kind of meaningful long-term deal, that might overlap with Nick Bolton. Like, are you willing to give Nick Bolton what is going to be close to $20 million a year and then also pay Willie Gay $8 million a year, $7 million a year? That's a question for Brett Veach to figure out. Maybe he does it in a way where he basically pays him this year and next year, and then it's like pay as you go.
Yeah.
But I think it's a tough call because you can't pay everybody. Right. And you need to pay Nick Bolton when that time comes. I don't know that you pay Willie Gay that amount of money.
Yeah, we always joke about this with Brett. We used to talk to him all the time at the combines. Like, the better they are at drafting, the harder the decisions get when it comes to roster cutdowns. Comes down to paying guys. You can't pay everybody. The finances will not allow you to.
Yeah.
You can't have everybody on rookie deals because you need veterans who can step in and play. And the better you draft, the more you don't have to leverage yourself to having to go fix problems in free agency where it gets more expensive. So, yeah, not. It's good problems to have when you're talking about a young linebacker, especially for Leo Chanel in the best game of his career in the Super Bowl, which is a good time to do that. So this conversation, we have in the offseason, but great to see Willie Gay, go out there and make an impact. And he's got, another season to go out there and make the kind of impact that a lot of us thought he would when he was drafted with the way that he plays. And seems like he's kind of come into his own, stay healthy, go out there and earn some money, whether it's with Kansas City or somebody else.
But 88% of the snaps in the Super Bowl.
Pretty good.
all year long. They took him off the field on third down. They got the Super Bowl. They're like, you know, Willie, you stay out there. We'll see how it plays out.
Played out pretty well. It did play out pretty well.
Okay.
There's been a couple questions here. One's from Nick Deal on the YouTube as it's coming through. Any feeling on whether KC are looking for a wide receiver, one that wasn't on the roster this year? And I also got a question from the Discord, kind of along the same lines, but it's also having to deal with the wide receiver room. We could talk about, you know, kind of the free agency aspect of it, but Cigarette and Afresca also asked if there are any wide receivers in this draft that you can field and have a significant role.
First of all, that's a great name.
That is great.
That's awesome.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that this draft, there's no Jamar Chase. He's going to go like top five, right? Like, there's a lot of depth, I would say, between maybe pick 15 and like the middle of the third round. Like, there's going to be a lot of guys there. You know, I remember going to the Senior Bowl and you saw guys like Jalen Reed out of Michigan State. You saw guys like Tank Dell out of Houston. You know, Wicks out of Virginia, who I think is an interesting guy. I think if you're the Chiefs, you're probably better served to draft a guy in that range, maybe on day two, you know, and kind of double down on your bet on Sky Moore. And we talked to Andy Reid on Tuesday, and he, right at the beginning, was like, look, he's, you know, Kadarius Toney's going to have a bigger role. Sky Moore's going to have a bigger role.
Yeah.
They might, you know, Justin Watson, nobody's talking about him. He played a ton of snaps this past year for the Chiefs. Say whatever you want, the coaching staff likes him. Yeah. Mahomes trusts him. So does he come back? I don't know that Mecole Hardman has a role back in Kansas City. You know, we'll see. You never know. But my guess would be he might move on. I think the big questions are going to be, what do they do with Juju? Because if they bring him back, then all of a sudden, like, that need isn't necessarily as big. But you talk to people around the combine, and it seems as though he's going to get some sizable offers on a per year basis, or, you know, millions per year basis. So the other question is DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a 2-year, $34 million deal, and none of it's guaranteed. Now, is he willing to go somewhere without renegotiating that deal? If he is, I think the Chiefs could very much be involved. If he's not willing to do that and he wants a brand new contract, essentially, I think it really hinders what the Chiefs are going to want to do. I don't think they're going to give him a bunch of guaranteed money into his 30s.
There was a lot of smoke around that one, and I went and asked around to people because I put it out on social. You know, I like it, but they have some money. I don't think Brad Veach is ever going to have Patrick Mahomes wanting for weapons.
No.
Whether we see them, whether it's guys that we know that are going to be very good, or guys like Justin Watson, where at the time of the signing, they knew he was going to make some sort of an impact using again there and play. I know Brad had been following him for a while. But the DeAndre Hopkins stuff, based on what I've heard, I do think he wants a new deal, and that money becomes an issue when you've got Chris and you've got Orlando Brown Jr. and you've got some other decisions that you need to make financially. But we know the cap can be maneuvered, but the cash is the budget that doesn't change. That's where it's like the hunt's like, this is the budget. This is what you can spend from a cash standpoint, make it work within the cap, which is easy to do when you have guys like Chris Shea and Brant Tillis working it behind the scenes, but cash, they only have so much.
You know, this as well as I do. The other part of that is if you pay guys outside the building to come in, guys who are inside the building or waiting on deals, that is not a good look in a locker room. Guys notice that stuff. And if you got Chris Jones sitting there waiting to get an extension, and Legarius Sneed waiting to get paid for the first time, we talked about Willie Gay, and then they go and bring in somebody, and they're adding huge money, and then they go, well, we can't pay you another money. You just paid that guy.
Yeah.
And he's done nothing here, and I've got rings. That stuff matters, too, for Brett Veach.
And more guys can become – more veteran wide receivers could become available anytime over the next few weeks, and a lot of different things that can change. And even stuff with Hopkins, like the stuff that I was hearing that was kind of cooling that talk just from a financial standpoint, makes sense. But we were joking earlier about the free agent market and what we saw last year with the market being set with some of the contracts that were given out. The guy like Jacoby Myers is going to get paid.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to get paid more than I think a lot of people are probably going to be surprised at his contract.
Alan
just like
Lazard.
We were last year, And so – if you have to give up a mid-round day two pick to get a DeAndre Hopkins and you pay him 25, like whatever he's getting 23 right now. Now we saw what Tyreek got. He's 31 years old.
Yep.
Get to the negotiation point. But if you pay DeAndre Hopkins 25-ish,
that's a lot of money,
or you have to pay Jacoby Meyer 15, he's like, DeAndre Hopkins is worth the $10 million difference and the talent level of those two players.
Also, Rashad Bateman. Perhaps. Come on. After what's going on Twitter today.
How many calls do you think Eric DaCosta got?
Brett Veach, lover of first-round picks. And also a guy who's dealt with the Ravens before. I mean, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but yeah, Eric DaCosta probably wasn't thrilled when he woke up this morning and saw that half of Baltimore Twitter, including his own receiver, coming after him.
You're listening to the fastest-growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
All right, Tuck, what do we got?
Tough look for them. There's something we got to talk about here. Odell asked thoughts on NFLPA report card regarding Rick Bolter, Burkholder. Obviously, that grade coming out yesterday from the first ever NFLPA report card. 29th in the league was kind of shocking to a lot of people.
It's not good. It's not, I mean, it's not all you want. Rick Burkholder, talk about having a tough day. You open that up and you're getting named by, like, I will say this. I always think, and this, think about if you went to college and you had to fill out a review, right? Like, you're always going to be more negative and more open and stuff like that because you don't have to put your name to it.
Right.
Right. And some, there's value in that because you can be more honest. So I'm not knocking it, but I think there's always going to be a little bit more of an inclination to be like, hey, you know what I'd really like? I'd like a better weight room. And maybe I didn't want to say that to the boss, but I can say it here. So I don't have to attach my name to it. I think the Chiefs definitely have to look into it and address it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just say, oh, well, it's fine. We won the Super Bowl. No, I mean, you need to have those conversations with the training staff. You need to have the conversation internally. Go, where can we be better? What can we do better? That's your job as an organization. And you don't want to fall behind other organizations. Now, do I think they're going to lose out on free agents because of this? No, I don't. I don't. I mean, the reality is money talks. And if you're a vet receiver who wants to win, like, you're not going to not go to the Chiefs because Rick Burkholder was taking some shots in this report. But you'd also not be doing your job if you're the Chiefs not to look into some of these complaints because it could be very valid.
Yeah, when it comes to, like, the facilities, I can't speak to any of that because I didn't see anything else other than going and seeing the stadiums and all that. But regardless of where you stand on this, and some players just don't mesh well with certain people and they've got bones to pick. I mean, we saw with Rashad Bateman, we just talked about, he's putting it out there. If nothing else, it's going to lead to a bunch of meetings and a bunch of conversations internally between Andy Reid and Rick Burkholder, not just because of what was said and the validity of it and being good and making sure the players feel supported. All of the players feel supported, but it's like, what would cause players to come out and speak so definitively about something? It's a tough look, but it's hard for me because I know Rick and I saw him the other day and he's always been good to me, but you know, not every player jives well with everyone. Same thing with the coaching staff. And a lot of times the stuff doesn't get out. This kind of stuff, Chiefs don't necessarily want that getting out, but if getting it out ultimately makes things better at any level long-term with all of the players, then it is a good thing, but yeah, it's just not a good look.
Yep.
All right, this is another question coming from the Discord. It's from Neil F. A very interesting one, especially we talk about roster building conversations here. He asked, if you could only do one, what direction would you take? Extend Chris Jones or sign Orlando Brown Jr. to a long-term deal?
I'd extend Chris Jones,
yeah,
and I wouldn't even blink. Listen, I have said and gotten screamed at for, I think outside of Mahomes, you could make a real argument. The most important position on the Chiefs is their left tackle because he protects Mahomes. And if that guy screws up and misses one blitz, you got a problem. Okay. That said, Chris Jones is walking into Canton one day. Orlando Brown is a good football player. He's not going to Canton without a ticket. Okay. Like, he's a good player. He's not Chris Jones. That defense doesn't work if Chris Jones is not there. Period. End of story. I don't care how good the young corners are. You know whose job gets a lot harder without Chris Jones? Nick Bolton. Hey, like, Nick Bolton's not being kept clean anymore. They think about the play where Nick Bolton scores in the Super Bowl. What sets it up? Chris Jones gets a double, and there's nowhere for Jalen Hurts to go, and he goes to switch a hand, right, and he fumbles the ball. So, yeah, listen, I think that in the perfect world, I think the Chiefs will have to do both. You lower the cap hit by extending Chris Jones, and then you sign OBJ to, you know, $22, $23 million a year. But if they had to do one or the other, I don't even think it would be a contest for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Nate Taylor wrote yesterday in The Athletic that the Chiefs want to make an extension, an offer to him that'll make him the second highest at that position.
Yes.
Current AAV for defensive tackles is from Zach Eisen. Aaron Donald is first at $31.67 million, so second highest would slot in at about $23 million per year.
Yep.
Because tied for second right now, DeForest Buckner, Leonard Williams, both $21 million APY. So I think that that could be a deal. And listen, I think that would be money well spent.
I was talking to a few people yesterday, just around and at night. And I think something like, if including his current year, if they made it like 4 and 100 and maybe guaranteed the first 2 years and then partial guarantee in the third, I think that's fair. You know, I'm sure he would love to get right near where Aaron Donald got. The reality is Aaron Donald might be the greatest defensive tackle ever.
Right.
Like I don't think you're doing that. But if you get to $25 million, first of all, that's a raise off of his second contract. How many guys get a raise from a second to a third contract? Very rare.
Yeah.
All right. This one is from Mike Denny. He asked, is the St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail as good as advertised?
Tuck, why don't you take this one first since you tried it first? This guy, they were bringing it around. So they've never seen this before. People, the reps from St. Elmo's were walking around with the shrimp cocktail, handing it out like they're waiters around Radio Row. And I knew what it was immediately. And they're like, you want shrimp? And Tucker's like, sure. Has no water, nothing. And then just takes a bite into it. And as soon as he put it in his mouth, I was like, do you know what you just did?
It's a wasabi.
Don't have water.
Yeah,
horseradish is strong.
Brought me to tears. I was crying. My eyes were watering because of the horseradish. But no, I thought it was tasty once you get past that initial slap in the face of horseradish.
But it was just like a little plate with just a little bit of horseradish. When you go there, they like you can't see the shrimp. They put so much on it. So when you're at the restaurant.
I will tell you, I had it last night, and I love it. And I hate spice. I hate spice. But it's a kick, as you put it, it's a punch to the face, but it's brief. Like, it doesn't last.
Yeah.
It's not just spicy food and your mouth's on fire for like 10 minutes. It's a quick kick, but man, it is so good.
I don't like horseradish at all, but I always go there and eat it, and I don't necessarily enjoy it. I just feel like you have to do
it's
it.
It's important.
Just like,
it's important.
It's what you do when you're here.
It's amazing. That restaurant is it's so funny. You walk in there and like half the NFL is just sitting at a table. You're like, oh, there's the Packers.
Yeah.
There's the whole team sitting like, all right. It's I love the shrimp cocktail.
All right, I got some more roster building. Shocker, got some roster building questions here. Keith McLean says, more likely first round pick, defensive end, defensive back, or wide receiver?
Defensive end, defensive back. You want to go first on this? You want to take a stab at it?
Yeah, I would. I mean, we haven't got through free agency yet. But we talked about this last night. So if the Chiefs do what they've normally done, which is patch up all the holes that we all, you know, say like, hey, they're light in this area. They always patch those with veterans, guys throughout free agency.
Yep.
So when you get to the draft, you're not pigeonholing to be like, they have to take a guy right here to play this position. Right. So right now I would say edge rusher would be my most likely scenario just because Frank, even if he comes back, would be on some sort of rotation. We're not going to expect him to go out there and play, you know, 40, 50 snaps in every game.
Yep.
And I just like the idea of the Chiefs having three cornerbacks and two starting edge rushers on rookie deals. Patrick Mahomes prime.
I mean, I think every time I answer a question like this, I say the same thing. First of all, you don't know what free agency is going to bring. Second of all, you don't know what the board's going to be. You know, when we were talking about Arrowhead Pride at the beginning, when we worked there, like when we worked there and they were drafting fifth, you were like, oh, Eric Berry. You knew. You're like, all right, that's
Eric
it.
Glenn
like,
Dorsey. Right, he's right there.
You Easy. Knew how it was going to shake. When you're 31, like what position has runs put on it, right? And what does it? I would say this. If all things are equal, I would say edge rusher. I would say edge rusher because they can draft a guy in the second or third round from Mahomes, and he's going to turn the guy into 20% better than what he normally would be.
Yeah.
There's it's the same reason I would extend Chris Jones right now. There's no Patrick Mahomes on the defensive side to elevate everybody else.
Yeah.
Offensively, that's fine. Like Isaiah Pacheco's never running into a heavy box in his career. You have Mahomes. I would draft the edge. I think they have a lot of corners. Not saying I wouldn't add one, but I think they have a lot of them. I'll give you one other one though. What about tackle? Like even if they, you know, because even if you tag Brown, okay, you don't have certainty past this year, though, at least not when you're going to the draft. So,
yep.
Yeah, I know you got Kennard. I get it. You have Niang, but you don't know.
What do you do with Wiley? I mean, that's right. The big one for me.
He's the pivot
point. You could tag Brown again, pay Wiley, and then draft one.
Yeah.
And then just Orlando Brown Jr. kind of knows, like, listen, this is it. And then Andrew Wiley's versatile enough. He could slide around and he can move over and play guard if Tooney gets let go or doesn't fulfill, play out his contract.
I'll tell you what else, too. It gives Brett a little bit of leverage in those negotiations. Like, look, I don't have to sign you. We just took a guy, you know, 50th overall. So, like, I am more free to let you walk. Yeah, I mean, is that going to lower the price? No. I mean, he's going to want what he wants and so on and so forth. But it gives Brett a little bit of strength in negotiations to say, hey, if you don't want to take this, that's fine. Then you're going to play out this one-year deal because we just took this guy in the second round and we feel confident in him. So, I think for the Chiefs, you can't have enough competition to tackle, whether it's for start or for swing.
Yeah. And the only reason I wouldn't say wide receiver is you want guys, I mean, we all want guys who can make an instant impact. And you just don't see that with wide receivers. And I say it, I talk out of both sides of my mouth, because if Zay Flowers is there, run to the podium.
Okay. Yeah. Is he your number one guy?
I haven't watched all of him. I haven't watched a ton of guys. I've watched enough of him to be like, that dude would be very good.
Okay.
With Patrick Mahomes in the system.
Okay.
Would be a fun one. Mel Kiper Jr., as we mentioned. Mocked Broderick Jones, offensive tackle from Georgia to the Chiefs. So,
all right, we'll do rapid fire to get to 21 because we got about five more minutes here.
So yeah,
send us those questions.
This one from Andrew R. On the YouTube is CEH done in Kansas City, and can they get a late round pick for him?
I think we might have seen the last of CEH. If they cut him, they only save a little bit and they eat $2 million. But it's the opposite if they trade him. I mean, I think they could probably get like a seventh round pick for him. You know, some team will take it. It's a low cost.
Yeah, I need to look at that contract because I thought there was we had the conversation of it's really not that much savings to cut him.
It's like 500 grand.
Yeah, I thought it was something like 800. Tucker could look it up. But to cut him and know you're going to get it $2.5 million in dead cap, but you're only saving 800 against the cap.
Right.
You're going to have to pay more than that unless you draft another rookie running back. Anybody that you pay in free agency, even if they're a solid special teams player, you know, is going to get at least $2.5-3 million a year. So then you're paying more than what you have for a commodity. You at least know what you have with CEH, not that you expect him to play special teams or anything, but it's not so much of a savings that it's a slam dunk.
If you trade them, it's the inverse. So they save like $2 million. The other thing they could do is post you and want them, you know, they can middle it that way too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like his dead cap would be $2.5 million if he was cut. So right in that ballpark there. So we will, we'll see. This one's from Zach Tanksley. What do you assess Orlando Brown's trade value at if he is tagged?
Second round pick, something like that, which is basically what the Chiefs assessed his value at a couple of years ago. Here's the problem I have with it real quick. If you trade him, if he hit the market, he'd be the best left tackle out there by a mile.
Yep. Yeah.
So if you trade him, you're not signing anybody who's as good as him. So now you're putting in a rookie left tackle. You want to do that? Because I don't think the Chiefs want to do that.
And they won't make that decision. I've said there is no chance that the Chiefs go into the draft not knowing who their left tackle is going to be.
No way. I mean, think about a couple of years ago when we all knew like they'd cut Fisher and Schwartz. And everybody was like, well, they got a draft tackle. And I remember talking to people in the organization who were like, I don't know if we love this class. No. And then 2 days later, Orlando Brown got acquired. I mean, they're not going to leave Mahomes and themselves exposed as they go into that draft. There's no way.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking through all these questions, and there's a lot of questions about the Chiefs' backup quarterback. So I'm going to kind of lump them together. It seems like there's an
opportunity to say his name correctly.
Yeah, there you go.
Shane Buchel. I said Buchelli on like two shows, and I couldn't. Yeah.
So
I got by the Twitters.
So people want to know, like, there's about three or four questions about do the Chiefs go with a career backup guy or do they go with a young guy as their backup quarterback?
I mean, they seem to like Buchel. Like, they do. Now, that being said, in both their Super Bowl runs, it was a damn good thing they had a veteran stand on the sideline. If you don't think Andy Reid knows that, I got nothing coming. Hey, you know who's a free agent? Chase Daniel's a free agent. You know who really knows that offense? Chase Daniel. So I think if you're the Chiefs, is it worth having a $4 million investment plan, or insurance plan, if you have Mahomes dinged up for a game? I think Buchel will compete, and maybe it's one of these things where they bring a guy in. It's like, look, if Buchel wins a job, then he wins it, and they can just cut bait, and there's no real cap hit. But I think they might bring in a veteran.
Yeah. I liked it. Yeah. I like the idea of a Chase Daniel, I guess. And I hadn't thought about him. I didn't know he was a free agent, but him more so than, you know, like guys like Carson Wentz.
That's not happening, man.
I want a guy that's, this is no reason to back that. I have no information to back this up, but just philosophically, having a veteran that understands what it means to help the starter get ready and understand watching film and being a sounding board to him. Whereas a Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill, Carson Wentz, these quarterbacks that might not find a home as a starter that maybe just want to go work with Andy Reid for a year and understand what that looks like, win a ring, be a part of it. Do they know what it's like to be the backup and to be a good teammate to Patrick Mahomes? Not that they're bad dudes, but it's like, you know, the process of how to help. Chase Daniel has become an expert in how to help the starter prepare, do all of those kinds of things. And my most important thing for me for the backup quarterback, besides the point that you made, is that you're going to have to go in there and win a game at some point during the year in a big game. More so than that, that role is help Patrick Mahomes be prepared every week.
Also, if you're Carson Wentz, just for an example, or Baker Mayfield, like, you don't want to be a backup.
Right.
You want to be a starter. If you're Chase Daniel, like, you're begging to be a backup. The last thing you want is going out and taking a bunch of hits at this point here, right? So I think there's a mentality that comes along with it that people overlook. If you're Darnold, Mayfield, you want to start. You don't want to go in there and be a backup. You're chomping at the bit. So I think they're better off going up for a guy who is totally comfortable in that role.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
All right. I think I've got a good one to end on here.
All right.
What has been the best part of the combine experience?
Well, my body is slowly shutting down. Okay. I mean, for me personally, man, I love going out at night and getting information that I can inform people with around the league, right? I mean, that's the best part. Now, that being said,
and that happens between 1 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
We are sleeping. That is not the world that we play in.
I basically crawled out of Brian there. And not from inebriation. I couldn't take it anymore. But everybody's here. So you can talk to agents. You can talk to people in the league, right? You can talk to personnel men around the NFL. And I think this is, like, I know free agency technically starts in 2 weeks. Free agency starts right here.
Yeah.
JW. Okay. And it starts at Prime. And I think that's the part that I enjoy the most, because it then informs the whole rest of your offseason. You have an idea of where things are going. You can give information as you're allowed to. I love that part of it, and, you know, having that FaceTime with people around the league and getting to kind of, you know, learn where the league might be going here in the next couple of weeks, couple of months.
Yeah, I enjoy that everybody's around and that you could just see the stuff happening. You see all the national media out, you see all the coaches, and you just kind of see how things work.
Yep.
I think that industry knowledge of just coming here, and the first few years I was here, you're just like, oh my God, that's so-and-so. Oh my God, that's that looks a lot like, so. Oh, that is that person. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. That makes sense. Especially Radio Row. We're sitting here looking, you see us looking around. It's all these people are walking around. That going out at night and getting a chance to meet people and network, it's so important for insiders and that to get that information, create those relationships. And it's not like you're talking to people that you don't know. You're talking to people that you get to know over the years. And the cool part for me, I haven't been at any of these, first event that I've been at in the last couple of years, is that you come back and I know half the people. And it's just like, oh, hey, BJ, what's going on? Like, I'm at a different platform now, obviously with KCSN, but I just love being around people that share the same passionate types of things. And everybody, for the most part, is cool. You go out at night and you see people kind of just showing their personalities, having some fun. And then the next day is I get up in the morning, get you a coffee, and then be like, what did you learn last night?
Dude, last night we're sitting there, we're all talking. It's like, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning. And like, I won't say who it was, but like a very prominent current NFL player just rolled by. Mm. I was like, and like, to your point, if it was the first year or two I had been here, I probably went, oh, like, wow. Like, it was like, hey, man.
Can I guess? Is it Derek Carr?
It was not.
Okay.
It was not.
I was trying to get him on the podcast. If I see him, we're going to do an emergency podcast live with Derek Carr.
Derek, how do you feel about the Raiders replacing you currently with no one? Thoughts? But it was just so funny. Like, you walk through, and yeah, I mean, you know, and any NFL player, they're huge. Like, I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
And you walk through, and it was like, I feel like in most settings, you can never do it as an NFL player. You get mobbed. But there it was like, oh, hey, it's so-and-so. That's cool. Yeah. And like, you just keep going.
I just want to tell Derek Carr, like, now he's not a Raider. It's like, I always kind of liked him. Are had you no problem with him? Not as a player, but just as like a person. He seemed like a genuinely good dude. Went through a lot of junk.
He did. Are you able to still read his tweets, or has he blocked you along with the rest of society?
Nobody. I'm not that guy on Twitter.
See, Matt. I'm not.
I don't. You've gone at people. You have opinions. You share things.
I have no problem doing.
I tweet
that.
Like I think, which is always just right down the middle.
Well, I see. God bless you.
Especially now with the industry knowledge of knowing how things work, like it's so easy to be like, well, this is awful. Like, why are they doing?
It's true.
Like, if something confuses you or doesn't look right, it's because you're missing part of the truth.
Yeah, so and for the record, I can still read Derek Carr's tweets. Now, his brother, that's a whole nother story. I haven't been able to read his tweets in quite some time.
He's had takes over the years.
And the funny thing is, like, I don't think I've ever said anything about David Carr in my career, but it's just like,
he's blocked you?
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, years ago. You know, and that's probably for the better. But yeah, man, it's Derek Carr. I'm fascinated with Carr. Derek Carr. If I'm the Jets, I would just sign him right now. He could be their Alex Smith.
Right.
Stabilize it for a few years, get him into the playoffs, then find that bridge. I mean, obviously, good luck finding Mahomes, but find that bridge. If you don't sign him and Rodgers, by the way, as you know, I am from New York. I would pay money to watch Aaron Rodgers go to New York. I would pay money to see that happen. Can you imagine a darkness retreat in New York? You know what that would be like? I can't even imagine. But it's also why I don't think he's going to go there. I think Vegas makes way more sense for him than the Jets.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, that's all we got for 21 questions. Appreciate everybody for hanging out. Thank you to Matt Verderon for joining us here. And make sure you check out his social media accounts to figure out where he's going to be going. But congratulations to him with all of his success. Appreciate all you for hanging out on this. What's today? Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
On this,
I hope so.
This Thursday afternoon. We'll be here for a few more days putting out content, probably all the way through Monday. Here on this platform, talking to different media, some other special guests that will hopefully have come through. So appreciate everybody for hanging out. Hit that like and subscribe. Please follow us on your favorite podcasting platforms, and we'll see you next time. Yeah.